Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today we've got two guests. They're a couple, and I've been stalking you on your YouTube channel, and they describe themselves as an interracial, interable couple with a 17-year age gap. He is a sports pundit, a TV presenter, and a Paralympic medalist, and a children's author, and she is a flipping amazing singer. It is Ade Adepitan and his wife, Linda Adepitan. Hello!
Hello!
And we've also got a special guest, because Bola is with us.
Yes,
yeah, Bola.
Baby Bola, man like Bola's here. He's trying to take over.
Yeah, he wants to be the star of the show. He loves the cameras and the action.
But it's funny, because he can't hear me, so all he can hear is you two talking, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think your voice is very soothing, so I think you'd probably like to hear it.
Yeah, we might record your voice and just use it to get
you
to sleep.
Yeah, can you sing Hush Little Baby for us?
That's the one. I tell you what, whoever sings that Hush Little Baby or does the instrumental version is making dough from us. They're making bank. Because we're putting that on like
at
20 times.
Times.
No, I think it's 20 times.
Probably
a day.
More like 20.
I'm constantly saying, like, whenever I'm stressed, Alexa, put on Hush Little Baby. Quick. Oh, no, she's going to turn on.
You set off everybody's Alexa.
Sorry.
It's that thing, isn't it? I think it's, and also as a parent, you don't care how many times you've heard it.
Yeah,
you just,
if it works.
It's fine. If it works, it works.
Do you know the great one now is when we. When we're driving somewhere and Bola's in the back of the car and he gets stressed out, I put on Hush Little Baby, or Linda puts it on in the car, and we turn it up quite loud, and we forget we've got the windows open, and we pull up by some traffic lights, and we just got us with Hush Little Baby blaring out the car. So now I said to Linda, we just got to go with it. So we start nodding our heads like, yeah, this is a bad tune. Whoa, Hush Little Baby.
I mean, it's when he's not in the car and you're still singing to it. That's the
that
thing.
That is the problem, yeah.
So how different were your upbringings? Because, Linda, you were brought up in Scotland, right?
Yeah, I was. I think we were pretty much polar opposites, I would have said. Would you?
Yeah, we're kind of
different eras, different, I mean, yeah.
We're opposites in pretty much everything. Yeah. I was London, East London, you're up in
Edinburgh. I think the only thing that's probably the same is that our parents are both Christian. Like, and
yeah,
definitely.
Do you know what's really fascinating is that, it's fascinating, but it's also really cool, is just, even though our backgrounds are very different in the way that we grew up and stuff, our parents get on so well, and you know, our families I think really connect, and I think it's just because we probably share similar values.
Yeah, I think that's the
and it really it's just so nice. The first the bullet just burped.
No, you're just making happy noises.
but what was so nice is when sort of our families first connected. I think the first time they connected was when I got tickets for the opening ceremony
of the
Paralympics. I was working presenting with Claire at the Paralympics, but I got tickets for Linda, my mum, my aunt, your mum.
Yeah.
Was your dad? Dad was still here as well. And Anamoyle, my sister. And I was working, so I was totally focused on that. But there was something in my mind thinking, how are they going to get on? But it sounded like you guys got on really, really well.
But yeah, I had probably quite a privileged background in comparison to what you had growing up.
Yeah, it's different. You know, I grew up in Lagos, Nigeria, and, you know, our circumstances changed because of my disability. Because I had disability, my parents decided to bring us to the UK, or myself to the UK first, because they knew life would be much better for us here. And I guess one of the things that happens a lot that people don't kind of realize when you move to another country as an immigrant or whatever, you become the minority, is there's a bit of downward mobility. So my parents were middle class in Nigeria. You know, they were both professionals. They were teachers. They both trained really hard. My dad was on his way to being a head teacher. But, you know, it's the 70s. Things were different then. It was a lot tougher if you were black, if you came from a different country, to try and get a job and to make your way. So my parents struggled. It was really, really tough. Yeah, it's kind of slightly different to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you two meet?
At the National Television Awards.
Oh, swanky.
An after party that I'd gate crashed.
Yeah, I kind of gate crashed it as well, because
the security guards didn't chase you.
Did they chase you, Linda?
Well, I don't think they noticed me. I was in a group of people, and yeah, they definitely clocked that we weren't supposed to be there, and kind of moved towards us as we were dashing in. But it was one of those you just walk through as confidently as possible and hope that they don't clock that you're one of the people that's not meant to be there.
Yeah, well, I wasn't meant to be there as well, because my agent, he had the ticket, but he didn't want to go, so he gave me the ticket. So I went, and I was on a bit of a downer, because I'd been trying to buy my first house, and I'd got rejected for a mortgage, so I was feeling pretty down. And they told me they said I'll come to the National TV Awards and have a few drinks, and drown your sorrows. I took that too far, as sometimes I can do, and I got really I enjoyed the champagne too much. I remember I fell down the stairs because I was coming down the stairs in my chair, and which I can do when I'm sober. It scares people a lot, but when I'm drunk, I think I can do it, and I can't. So I piled down the stairs and nearly took out Dermot O'Leary's parents.
Not even Dermot O'Leary himself, but his parents. That's worse.
Yeah, exactly. It was crazy. But then once I recovered, and when you do that thing when you fall over, I mean, when I fall out of my chair, it's the same thing. You style it out and try and pretend like, yeah, I meant to do that. I meant to fall down that flight of stairs. You know, that's how we roll. It's rock and roll. Anyway, I got back into the chair and I was pushing around, slightly dazed. Then I saw just sitting by herself, this beautiful ray of light with this most amazing smile. And I made a beeline to Linda, and we just started chatting, and it was just really nice. It was just really cool conversation, and she just had this incredible aura about her. And I kind of thought, yeah, I want to know more. I want to hang out more with this woman.
Yeah. And at what point do you reckon, so obviously you went on to get married, at what point did you start actually talking about a family? Did you talk about that early on in your relationship? Because you've been together almost 12 years now.
Is I think right? It's 11 years this year.
Yeah, be
although there's a chance you could be more accurate than us. No, we started in 2010, I think.
We've right. got baby brain. Baby
yeah, we
brain.
Totally do.
Apparently, that never leaves us, by the way. Uh-oh. It's here for life. Yeah, uh-oh. All facts. Who knows?
But yeah, we got together probably about 6 months after that, after meeting. Within a year, we kind of knew that we were serious, but I don't think I really had imagined that we would be having a baby.
It's still, even now, it still feels surreal, yeah. you know, yeah. that we have a baby. I remember when we found out that Linda was pregnant, just how just mind-blowing that was for me. And then also leaving the hospital with a baby, that was yeah. it's just so weird. It's yeah. just so crazy. Like, now we're on our own with this precious thing.
Yeah. Well, was there a point when you two, you know, decided, you know what, now is actually the time, let's start trying, or was it a case of yeah. let's just see what happens?
Yeah, so I was going to say last year, but, like, you know, COVID has turned that last year into
that's
2 years
really year,
or something. Yeah. Yeah, so it was the year before that. Kind of, well, you'd had a bit of a rough year with, you'd lost a lot of people. Addie had lost a lot of friends and, you know, it was becoming really clear to us that you can't control life, because we'd been at a point where we'd always kind of wanted my career to be a little bit further along than it was. And there was definitely a fear for me of, like, whether I could have a career or a baby type of thing. And I know we're in 2021 now and it should kind of be gone, but, like, the music industry, I couldn't see many of examples of people who had a baby and then gone on to have a successful career. Like, most of the people that you see in the music industry that are successful with a baby, they were successful before they had a baby.
Yeah.
So there was that fear in both of us, I think. And then just, yeah, it hit us that you don't have control over your life, like whether we could even have a baby. We'd had a lot of friends that were struggling, and so we thought we'd better start trying. And yeah, but Addie had gone to, where did you go? He'd gone somewhere that they had Zika virus, so we had to hold off.
Linda touched upon it a little bit, but I'd lost quite a few friends. Linda had lost her father as well, and it was that sense of, because you have this plan in your mind of this perfect timeline of life. You get married, you know, Linda's career takes off, my career takes off, then we have a baby and everything's all rosy. But I lost a friend suddenly out of the blue, perfectly healthy, and I'd lost two friends the year before to cancer. And then also, someone who I worked with, I was away filming, and I remember him saying to me that him and his wife were trying to have a baby, and he said it had turned into this mission. He said, like, sex was no longer fun anymore. It was of like timings and when it's right and all that. And they'd been trying for so long, and I suddenly started hearing other friends who were, it, or not just friends, but other people who were taking a long time and struggling to conceive. And I just thought, well, maybe we're being a bit naive. Maybe we're just taking this all for granted and we should just...
Yeah, you spend so many years trying not to get pregnant,
yeah.
don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? Until you start trying, you actually don't know mm-hmm. if you're able to get pregnant. You yeah. have absolutely yeah. no idea.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we had been considering adoption, and I was considering adoption before having a biological child. But yeah, it was that feeling that we just kind of instantly realized that we wanted it now, I guess. We wanted to try, yeah. but also we just wanted to have that legacy, I suppose.
Well, the other thing is you can always get into that trap where you, because it will never be a perfect time. You know, your career will never be at that place where you're like, oh yeah, this is it. It's time, baby time, you know? Yeah. So you just kind of thought of it. And also when I think about losing my friends, I kind of thought, oh, it made me think, and this is going to sound a little bit morbid, but it made me think, you know, if something was to happen to either of us,
yeah.
we'd have nothing to share that was...
Our love would be gone.
Yeah, you know, and I just suddenly thought, you know, it'd be... Let's do it. Let's stop messing about.
Let's try it at least.
Yeah, let's try it. And as Linda said, I was off to the Solomon Islands to film the first episode of my climate change series. And I spoke to the BBC doctor, and she said, by the way, if you're planning on having a baby or anything like that, I think I'll hold off for a couple of months, for 4 months, because they have Zika out there. And so I was like, oh, blooming hell. So that was something that threw a spanner in the works.
And we were going to hold on for my birthday as well. I was 30 last year. We were going to have a big party, and then we thought, right, let's get the alcohol out of the way. But then coronavirus came, and it was kind of like, well...
Yeah, coronavirus came, and we watched everything that was on Netflix. So we thought, let's make some babies. You know what I mean?
Netflix and chill. So when you were actually allowed to go with the go-ahead, 30th birthday out of the way, Zika virus no longer a risk, did it all happen quite quickly?
Yeah. I'm not a very patient person. So, and I was really scared of that, having the tests and not being pregnant when we were trying and stuff like that. So I took it quite seriously. We were both on the, like, what is it? The Vitabiotics conception pills. And like, I stopped caffeine. I stopped drinking. Oh, I was like, you know, I want to get lucky first time.
Linda was serious. You know, she was like, if she had flow charts and all sorts of stuff.
I had the app. I like... checked when I was ovulating and everything, but...
I remember before we started trying, Tom was like, oh, yeah, we're going to have all the sex. And I was a bit like, yep, on these days.
Yeah. You know,
I don't know, we were...
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, that's private, isn't it?
Yeah. Kind of, but...
I'm still a virgin, you know, so...
I've heard this about you, Linda. I have seen this on the YouTube channel, yeah. Your mum is so proud.
But it was funny because when you had the pregnancy test thing and that thing and I went off for a push because I was doing like some fitness around the park and Linda was going to check to see whether it tested, and I remember pushing around the park just so nervous. I do like 2 or 3 miles.
Well, because I bled the day before, so right. We'd been trying, and then I was like, oh, I think my period's come. And then the bleeding didn't continue the following day. So I was like, oh, and I Googled it, and they've said that the bleeding could actually be a sign of pregnancy. And I was like, oh my goodness, this could be it. And then, I couldn't hold back. I took the test, and then I called him, and I was like, oh, am I going to tell him now? And then I thought, no, I need to film this reaction. This is like a moment for the rest of our lives. So I just said, you need to come back now.
And I was like, on for the fastest time ever.
That's what they need to do at like all the Olympic Games and the Paralympics. Just to say, your partner's at home, they've got some news for you. Race.
Yeah, pace. Yeah, but I came back in and, Linda showed me the tab where it said pregnant. And... oh, it was just the most, it felt like this fountain of euphoria, relief, amazement, wonderment, just happiness and joy. And it was also during this really strange period of COVID. We were all in lockdown. I'd had COVID as well. And then to just suddenly have this news, it was incredible, absolutely.
Honestly,
incredible.
The clip that you guys shared, where literally you're screaming, and then those tears and the laughter. Like I feel like those who have been through that, it's just that it's literally everything is in that sound that you created, and it just brought back so many memories of times where I've kind of gone, "Oh my god, this is it."
Do you know what I like about that? It was a sound. There was no words or anything like that. I was just like high-pitched screaming. I was so embarrassed.
You know what? I got a fright. I'd never heard that sound from Addy before. And I just like, that was actually when the fear set in for me. Like, I was happy, but then I was like, okay, this is real now. And I was like, how do I keep this baby alive? That was like instantly, I was like, Yeah. Oh my goodness, here we go.
Yeah, that was the other thing as well. You kind of...
It makes it so real.
Is it 11 weeks?
12 weeks.
12 weeks. So we felt we couldn't tell anybody about it until that point. And it was also, suddenly you feel, we've got to try and keep this thing alive. We've got to keep this thing safe. And once we get past the 12-week barrier, then there was a... It felt like there was all these markers, these points that you had to get through to know that everything was safe. And also because we couldn't go into hospital for checkups because everything was so different.
You had a scare at 11 weeks as well, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a big scare and I don't know. It still makes me emotional thinking of it. It was just... I felt it was, we were so lucky and all of that. And I just felt like something was going to go wrong. I don't know why, but I just was really, really scared. And I think possibly like just before we conceived Bala, there, somebody that I knew, their daughter had had a stillborn. And that was my ultimate fear, I think.
Yeah.
That kind of was sitting with me the most of the pregnancy, probably until the third trimester. It was... I think by the third trimester, like, I started relaxing at last, like, but yeah, it was, I felt just really tense and scared and I wanted everything to be okay and just wasn't
convinced that it would
be. Well, because
of everything going on as well, you had to go in, after that scare, you had to go in and have that checkup on your own as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Which must have been really scary for you, but also Addy sitting in the car.
Well, do you know the frustration? We thought maybe they might make an exception because potentially we could lose the baby, you know, and maybe they would make an exception and allow us to be together. So I went in got turned away. But what really frustrated me, and I had to keep a proper like straight face, is after I'd gone in and got sent away, and then Linda went in on her own, and I'm like really... just shaking and upset. Then one of the staff members asked me if they could have my autograph and a picture. And I was just like, oh, no.
Yeah, so I can't sit with my wife right now, but you can click close and take a photo with me.
Yeah, it was.
There's a time and a place in it.
Yeah, it was quite frustrating. I mean, I know they didn't mean bad about it or any harm from it, but it was just... not the right time.
No.
And that period sitting in the car waiting to hear from Linda was just excruciating because I was worried for her. I was also worried about Bola and it was horrible.
I think what kind of summed it up though was like both of us, so we're faced, I don't know if they allowed us or I just insisted that I would FaceTime him for the whole thing. And was it that she showed me something? I don't know. But Addy saw it on the camera and was like, is that our baby? And you could see the woman thinking, well, whose baby do you think it is? and I was still looking at it, not like smiling, because I was like, okay, I can see a baby, but how do I know it's alive?
Yeah.
And she again, she was like, eventually I said, well, why is it bouncing like that? Because I thought it was floppy. And I was like, is that a bad thing? And she was like, that's the sign of a healthy baby. It's jumping around. And I was like, what? So we were just, we really, I guess, were preparing for the worst at that moment. So it was, it was euphoric all over again.
And there's so much about childbirth and pregnancy that you don't get told and that you don't know about, and you sort of have to learn on the hoof. And it's weird because you almost feel a little bit silly and naive, because I think the lady who you saw when she did the scan to check up the baby, I think she was kind of probably thinking, oh...
Well, she must do it 100 times a day.
Yeah, she's like, what are these guys worried about? I mean, all these histrionics and stuff. A little part of you feels... were we a little bit foolish there? But I don't know.
But also, I don't think so at all. Because Linda, you had been bleeding.
Yeah.
Is it 111 that you'd phoned?
Yeah.
And they had said, you know, they'd warned you that it could be a miscarriage, that because you were almost 12 weeks, it would, you know, it would be a very difficult miscarriage.
Exactly.
Essentially, at that stage, you are giving birth to your baby. So I think with all those things in your head as something that could be the outcome of this visit.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really matter how many times she, how many people she's seen that day or how many people she's scanned. To you guys, that scan represented all your hopes and dreams for your future.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right. But when you're in it, it's hard to even to think clearly. You know? And also it's in the height of COVID. Yeah. So normally in a period like that, you know, Linda's mum would be with us. My mum would be with us. You know, to have my brothers and sisters, we'd be able to see these people and talk to these people and, you know, have that sort of support. But it was just us. It felt like it was just us.
Yeah. And even then it was kind of like we weren't allowed to be together. So
yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like when you met at the car afterwards?
It was like, I think you were laughing and we were just in total amazement, because I remember you saying like he's going to be a basketballer or something. He was bouncing around so much and we just couldn't believe it. I was like, could you see how much he was moving? And Addy was like, oh my goodness.
It was in the scan, the baby was, he was moving so much. I don't know what my mindset maybe is, like, oh, he's just chilling on a mobile phone in the womb or something. I didn't think the baby would move so much.
And then I think we're like, let's go and get an ice cream. And then of course it was like, oh yeah, everywhere's shut.
There was nowhere to celebrate.
That's it.
Let's see if we've got a tub at home. Come on.
Exactly.
And how did you tell all your friends and family, and what were their reactions? Because obviously you couldn't go anywhere and see people.
Yeah.
So what was that? What was that like? Was it like I imagine it was like a little beacon of hope and love throughout a very difficult time.
I think so. I think everyone was overjoyed because of that. Like, it was the best news most people had had in several months. So
yeah, we were cheering everyone up and it was really nice. I mean, your mum was, she didn't believe us.
She was in disbelief.
She just didn't believe us. And when you told, you had to tell her like two or three times, didn't you?
We got her, so she was the first person, well, that we planned to tell. I think we might have sneakily told somebody else first. But I'd bought like a sewing thing for her. She's incredible sewer. And it was like this warm, snug bunny sleeping bag for Bola. And that was our way of telling her. So I hadn't realised that it was coming from Germany. And so it took forever. And so we were just waiting every day. I was like, Mum, have you had a delivery yet? And then eventually she opened it and we had her on FaceTime and she opened it and she looked at it and she was like, oh, that's cute.
Who am I making it for?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, I'm pregnant. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah, really. She was like, seriously?
Yeah, she just couldn't believe it. And then my mum, so we went to...
she couldn't believe it. Yeah. We got her like a chalkboard thing that said, my first grandchild will be born in, and then it had a countdown on it. So it was like 27 weeks, I think, at that point, and we'd drawn the 27. And she just is such a grateful person anyway. So we just handed her a present. She was like, thank you so much. And she opened it. She was like, oh, thank you so much. And she put it down.
Yeah,
and we're like, have you read it?
Yeah, I think my mum was probably thinking, what is this? What is this bizarre present? But she was nice about it.
She went, my first grandchild will be born in 27. And everyone else, like, because we had the whole family there. And everyone else just started cheering straight away. And then she just, you could see the penny drop. I'm so glad we were filming all this stuff because, good memories.
And the thing is, my mum has been waiting for a grandchild for probably about 20 years. You know, this is...
Yeah, you know, closer to 30, let's be real.
Yeah, yeah. From the moment she thought it was possible for me to conceive, she's like, come on, where's my next grandchild? Where is it? To say she was over the moon is an understatement. And when Bola was born, it's just like, when we first took Bola to meet her.
Yeah.
My mum just took Bola from your... She just grabbed him.
Here's my grandchild.
And she just like took him.
Let's go.
Yeah, and she was off.
See you later, Mum.
Yeah, I've never seen her so fleet of foot, you know? Yeah, she could have out-sprinted Usain Bolt.
And he was a heavy baby.
Yeah.
So, Linda, what was your pregnancy like after your scare? How did the rest of it go?
So the rest was, it was, I think, pretty good in comparison to a lot of the pregnancies that I've heard. I wouldn't say I enjoyed it, but I did in the final trimester. I remember people would ask me, are you enjoying this? And I was like, well, why would I enjoy absolute exhaustion, feeling nauseous, like, and getting heavier and heavier, having sore back, feeling heartburn, all that stuff. I was like, why did I was so confused about how anyone pregnant could enjoy it until that kind of, you know, till you start feeling the kicks, and until someone, you know, you have the scan and it says everything's okay. And yeah, just as it got closer and closer, I just got more and more excited rather than, like, everyone said I would be in pain in that third trimester carrying this big heavy lump around, I guess. But I managed to miss the waddling stage somehow. And yeah, it actually just felt really good towards the end.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Addy, what was it like seeing Linda's body change? And for, like, I know for Tom, he was continuously going, you know, how do you feel? Because it's something that you can see, but you don't, you're not aware of what's going on in there and those feelings.
It was lovely, actually. And it was just watching this belly grow. And I really enjoyed listening to Bola or sticking my ear to Linda's belly and, you know, rubbing her tummy. And I think she just... You just handled it so well.
I think I was just lucky.
No, you did. You handled it so well, and you were just like, you were so thinking of Bola all the time. And yeah, I'd never seen you. Well, I have seen you focused, but it was just like in a different way that focus. And it just made.
Yeah, I think in some ways I felt more relaxed because, you know, I'd been so focused on my career and stuff. I was like, I got to make this happen. I got to make that happen. And then it was permission just to focus on the being that was growing inside me. It felt like a really important job in itself. It was amazing, that side of it.
And Linda researches everything. She was constantly like, if we're going to get a pram, we're going to get a pram that works for Addy. You know, that Addy's going to be able to push as well. If we're going to get a sling to carry the baby, we've got to find something that works for you. And everything you're looking at, it was always looking.
I mean, it might sound like I was thinking of you. Maybe I was being selfish and just wanting you to take the burden, you know.
So that, like, you weren't the only one pushing the pram.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was always that research, and it was always, you know, just thinking, well, how's it going to work for Addy in a wheelchair? Yeah. And I never think about myself in that way. I'm so used to accepting that this world is not built for me and just making do. And she gets more angry about it than I do, you know. She's like, no, it's not right. This has got to work. This has got to happen. And you've got to be able to push your baby, and you've got to be able to take him around. And it just made, I just thought, that's so nice. That's
but so I guess cool. The thing is, like, for you in life, you've managed to adapt your life so that it works for you. But then this is a whole new thing coming in. That yeah. You have to learn, like, you don't, I guess, for me and Linda, we see ourselves. Like, we see in a very clear way how we are meant to do, carry out our parenting duties. But for you, it's another, and I know you would have to do that all the time throughout life with all your traveling and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. But you're having to assess those roles and adapt them and see how you can make them work.
You know, you're right with that. And I think it's something that I've just taken on board naturally from years of experience. Yeah. But one of my biggest fears was always, could I be a good father in all the ways that an able-bodied person would be a good father? Will my child enjoy playing sports with me because I can't play football standing up? Or would I be able to go for walks in the park with Boiler? Or if Linda isn't here, you know, how would I cope with him on my own? And I was always really worried. And each day I kind of pushed myself. The first time I went out with the ergo sling on my own with Bola, I probably didn't tell you, but I was really, really nervous about it.
Don't really, worry, I could tell.
Really nervous. You know, I was thinking, what if I fall out of my wheelchair? You know, what if Bola starts screaming and people start looking at me and thinking that I'm not fit to look after a baby? All of that mad judgment that I'd managed to not worry about over the years because it was about me suddenly came back to me. Yeah. And yeah, it's definitely been an adventure, and it's been a learning curve, and it's kind of almost starting again for me, in terms of my emotions and how I worry about people perceiving me being a father, you know. And I think the fear, maybe, I don't know whether it's just me, but I think the fear for a lot of disabled parents is, you know, that will be judged by able-bodied parents as not being capable of looking after our children.
From my own experience, I've got to say that whenever I went out with a newborn, I also had that fear. And I wonder if that's something that's a universal thing that most parents just don't talk about, that fear of my baby will cry, I won't be able to soothe them, yeah. Or I'll have to pull out a dummy, which for me was all before having a baby. I was like, I'm not going to use a dummy. And then I had a baby and I was like, I need a dummy. Yeah. You know, I'll have to pull out those tricks and then people would judge me for them. And I think actually that's such a huge part of the conversation anyway, because we feel like we're being judged before we even step out the door.
Yeah.
And I wonder how that, you know, that is a thing that already exists. So when you're then in a wheelchair as well, I wonder if you would have felt those things anyway, had you not been in a wheelchair, but it's just magnified even more. And for you, that focus is, because I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a really, really good point. You know, I've got used to people staring at me anyway, and then I guess now we have a baby. It's staring for different reasons.
Yeah,
and so
I think you're a grown man with a teddy bear.
Yeah,
do they?
Yeah, that's because the first time I went out with Bola in the sling, he was wearing this teddy bear outfit which we'd been given as a present, and went to the local newsagent, and the lady in the newsagent, who sees me all the time, when I came in, she was like, oh, how cute, you've got a teddy bear. And I was like, no. And then Bola stirred, and then she realized it was a baby, and she screamed. She went, oh, it's a baby, oh my god, it's a baby. And I was like, how could you, why would you think?
That's my son.
Yeah, it's my son. Yeah. Why on earth would I be going out in the streets
as a grown man in a sling,
with a teddy bear in a sling, holding it and cradling it? And she said, well, you don't know, people these days, they're into all sorts of things.
But she wasn't the only one that said that. Yeah. She was like, You would have thought, oh, yeah, just one strange person.
No. When I was pushing through the park, there was another two ladies on a park bench. Went, oh, so sweet. Did you see that guy in a wheelchair with a teddy bear on his lap?
And you heard him?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's amazing how quiet people think they talk.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the fact that, you know, sometimes people pull faces and I look and they go past me and I think, you do realise you're pulling this strangest face ever when you're looking at me,
yeah.
You know, but they don't realise it. But, you know, you are right. I digress and go off in all these different directions, but you are right. I think every new parent probably has that hang up, you know, am I going to be good enough? Am I going to be judged? And, you know, that is the fear. The to be in a supermarket with a screaming baby and to have hundreds of eyes looking at you, judging you, and questioning whether you're a good parent.
Do you feel like that feeling has got less for you? As you have done through life, you know, you've already navigated so much of it, and I would imagine what other people think isn't even a thing in your head. When it comes to parenting, there's this new element of that, I wonder how have those voices in your head got quieter?
I think they're easier definitely when I'm out with Linda.
Right.
But I haven't been out with Bola that much on my own. And when I go out with Bola on my own, I reckon they'll come back a little bit, but I'll be fine. I'll work it out in my mind. And also every time I manage to do something with Bola on my own, I just come back and sort of give myself a little internal high five. I'm like, yes, I did it. You know, that time when I had to take Bola for his checkup. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get him in the car into the baby seat on my own and then get my chair into the car, take him to the hospital, then get him out of the baby seat, get him into the sling and then push into
the upper ramp into
the GPs. And so, yeah, all of those, that time was like, I was really quite worried and thinking, oh, you know, I don't want to mess up here. I don't want to fall out of my chair. I don't want to drop the baby, all of that. And that, of course, none of that's going to happen. It's just in your head. And when I did it, I was like so chuffed. I felt like I was on cloud nine. And what the other thing that happened is whilst he was having a checkup, he then peed all over the nurse, which meant that I then had to change his nappy. And I changed his nappy in the surgery. And I felt even more proud of myself because we've got reusable nappies, so they're slightly more complicated.
Yeah.
So doing all of that, and I think the nurse was quite impressed. So I went out there thinking, yeah, you the daddy.
I love that, especially when you've had fears of, you know, what are you going to be able to do? What aren't you going to be able to do? And actually just doing it, you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. It's about being put... When you're put in those situations, you deal with it. And I'm like, kind of, get over yourself, you know? It's not about me, it's about Bola, you know? So, just get over it.
Yeah.
So, guys, talk to me about the birth, the big birth. How was that? He arrived early, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise. I don't know why. I just thought, like, I just was so... We both assumed he was going to be late. Like, I was late, and we're always late. Yeah. So we just thought,
of course, Bola's
going to be late. Like, of course he is.
Yeah.
And I'm impatient. I just thought, of course, like, we're going to be left waiting until, like, 42 weeks, and I'm going to be dying to get him out of there. And then all of a sudden, I think it was 38 weeks, and I was like, are these contractions? What is this?
And Linda being Linda, right, on the day that she gets a contraction, so Linda had decided to do this video where we...
Time-lapse
thing where we... You would see it on our YouTube channel where we spin the camera around and you document each week of having a baby or every...
The bump growing.
Yeah, or the bump growing. And Linda wanted to get the 38 weeks and to do this because it's a time lapse and because the camera
spins around,
it sees everything in house. So we have every time before we do this, we have to do a mass clear
because
it sees everything. And Linda's she's literally about to go into labor, you know, and she's like, we have to tidy this house up. So we tidy the house up. She's getting contractions and she's trying to set up the camera, trying to get the phone and everything ready. And we finally do this spinny video. And then suddenly it all happens, you know, within like a couple of hours. We're off to the hospital, aren't we?
Yeah, we were. So I was having contractions throughout all of that. It started in the morning. I wasn't sure of what it was until lunchtime. And by that point, you know, it's lunchtime. I'm thinking, great, I'll have the baby by the evening. You know, this is perfect. But I didn't. My waters didn't break until about 2 a.m. So you'd had a full day of contractions. And then we went to the hospital. And yeah, Bola came at 6:36 a.m. But
It was a nice experience because in terms of, I feel really bad. It's a nice experience, you know, because I know what it's like. I take it back. It was.
Even Bola's shocked at that.
What we were worried about was that you'd end up going into the hospital, and we.
You know what it was I'd had a strep B test the week before, and I did have strep B. Right. I was carrying strep B, and they told us if my waters broke before I went into labour, that I would have to give birth in the labor ward, and I was hoping for the whole birth center with a water bath, water birth and everything like that. So we were quite nervous,
and we thought, and if you did have to go into the labor ward, might have been complicated with me coming in, so I wouldn't have been
never seen it because of COVID.
We'd never seen the labor ward. But by the time we got there, the nurse just said, you know what, we're not taking you to any labour ward. You're having a baby here in the birth centre. And so
they put the drip in, mate.
Yeah, they put the drip in. And I was able to stay with Linda whilst she went through the contractions in the bath. And then we thought they were going to kick me out after that, but I didn't get kicked out after that. I was able to stay the night. Just to be with Linda, that was the main worry, that I was not going to be allowed to be with her and you know, go through that experience and share the birth together.
That was a big fear for me because, you know, I'd always been scared of labour. You know, everyone talks about it and it's like, it's a necessary thing that you have to go through, but I wasn't somebody that felt that my body was made for this. I was like, my body is not made for this and I don't know how it's going to happen. And the one thing that I thought would get me through was having Addy there. I was like, I know if Addy's by my side, I can do this. And so, yeah, there was a definite fear of him potentially not being there, especially because he wasn't allowed to any of the appointments and stuff, and we had to fight for a lot of that.
Well, and that's something that changed so much throughout the year as well, all the different... And with each different trust being able to do what...
Exactly. Yeah. I was a bit upset about that because there was a point where I realised if I'd chosen a different hospital at the beginning, because even that whole thing of when you find out you're pregnant, it's like, oh, well, what do you do now? You know all about the pregnancy test, but what happens next? Mm-hmm. So I called my GP and I said, oh, I'm pregnant. I didn't even get to speak to a GP. It was just a receptionist. And they said, oh, you just self-refer, choose which hospital you want. I was like, well, how do I choose which hospital I want? You can't just go and check them all out, especially in COVID times.
Yeah.
So there was two that we were choosing between. And if I'd chosen another one, Addy could have come to all the scans. And that would have been so amazing because Addy just completely missed out on seeing those. And for him, you know, as much as he talks about, you know, talking to the bump.
Hello.
I don't think it was real in the same way for him as it was for me until Bola was born, because I could tell the moment that Bola came, the fear set in for Addy. It was like, oh my goodness, what do we do? Is he breathing? Why is he breathing like this, you know? Whereas I had 9 months of like nurturing this thing in my tummy, and when he came out, I was like, oh my goodness, you're alive and you're well, and we really have been this lucky. I need to stop worrying now. It's all good now.
That moment when I can still see it clearly now, the moment where he finally comes out and then the nurse takes him out of the water and puts him on your lap. And then you got these big eyes staring up at us.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see his eyes straight away, you know?
He was just, he was looking at us and it was just like, oh my days, he's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. This is just amazing. And we were just both in love straight away. You know, and he had so much hair. He had so much hair as well. And
yeah, it's the strangest feeling a baby's hair under the water. It's like, what? What is this furball?
In fact, I can remember watching your birth story. And Linda, you're literally like, what has happened? What just happened?
Yeah.
And Addy, you're literally like, I'm just so happy. Again, that emotion coming out of you, just pouring out.
Yeah, I think our voices went up like 100 pitches. Like, it was like nothing else.
It is the most incredible feeling. It's like everything, every sort of emotion that you have all coming together, you know, the emotion of euphoria, the happiness, but also relief as well, that we've finally got there and that, you know, Linda's okay and the baby's okay. All of that was just pouring out. And then also probably emotion of what's to come, the journey that we're going to go through.
Yeah. Well, and we're similar to you. So we were together a decade before having our first child. And there is that, you know each other so well, but there is just this shift that happens, I think, when you go through something that massive.
Yeah, it is. It is. It was just, and then you're right. I did suddenly, this fear and realization hit me that we've got this precious little being and it's our responsibility and we've got to keep it alive. I think there was a sort of a little sense of relief that we got to spend the day, was it a day and a half?
Because of the strep B, he had to be monitored for, at least 24 hours.
Yeah, so I think we were there for almost 2 days in the hospital. So we had people constantly checking up on us and teaching us how to swaddle. I mean, swaddling a baby, I mean, that I would never have done that, first of all, because, I mean, that looked like some sort of punishment, the way they swaddled him up. And then, you know, teaching you how to change the nappies and because there was always stuff that would happen and you think, oh, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You know, breastfeeding as well, you know, that was tough as Bruce well. Though. Yeah, it was...
Yeah.
It was all really, really quite scary and a little bit overwhelming. And then when we were sleeping in the birth centre, the noises that would come out of the cot. Like, I was like, is he going to make it through the night?
Yeah.
Is he going to make it?
Well, they say, like, sleeping like a baby. Babies do not sleep soundly at
all. They do not.
And they do this thing where they breathe really, really fast.
Yeah. And then they don't breathe at all.
And then they stop breathing at all. Like, I was
intermittent breathing.
You'd be sleeping and then there'd be a period where they're making noises and you're like, oh my God, is he going to survive? And then you're like, he stops breathing and you're like, oh, that's good. And then you're like, oh, is he dead? Is he dead? Do you know what I mean? He's not breathed at all. It's such a roller coaster. And then when they release you, I'm saying release you, but when we're allowed to go home, you then suddenly think, right, we're on our own now.
Yeah. Well, and it feels like, I don't think it matters how long you've been in hospital. It feels like you've been in there for weeks, months, years, because there has that your life has changed. So when you step outside, the world looks different.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's like doing it for the first time again, which I love. I think that's given me a whole new energy of like, oh, it's the first time we've gone out to the park. Oh, it's the first time we've done this. It's exciting.
Yeah, because you're experiencing it with a new baby, with someone new in your family. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to so many things. You know, we went on a road trip with Bola up to Scotland, and that was amazing. Normally the drive up to Scotland can be a bit of a schlep, but this time with the baby, it was just a different experience. And you know, we're going to go on holiday with Bola. We're going to have our first Christmas, you know. He loves lights. I can't wait for him to see the Christmas tree. He's absolutely fixated by any sort of lights. You know, when he sees the Christmas tree, he's going to go bonkers.
And he'll be almost one by that point as well, won't he? Yeah. So he'll really be engaged with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So how much has your life changed in the last 6 months?
Entirely. I think so. I mean, mine has. I don't know how... mine has definitely changed entirely.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like you've got a new set of eyes on and a different layer.
Different
purpose, definitely. I certainly know the first time, so because of COVID, I haven't been working the normal hours or traveling as much as I would have, which has been great because it meant I spent the first 4 months, pretty much every day of the first 4 months of Bola's life with him. And then when I went off to do my first sort of filming day, I felt really sad. And I felt really like, oh no, I'm not going to be with them. What am I going to miss? You know, and now it's a lot harder. I mean, it was tough leaving for long periods before, but I think it's going to be even harder. And it has felt even harder to leave because I want to be with these two, you know, hanging out and having a laugh, even if he does keep us up all night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always think when either of us need to go away, at least we get a good night's sleep. That's the only blessing, I think.
Yeah.
Is, well, actually, and then you do feel a bit like you again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. It's amazing how much better I feel when I've had a good night's sleep compared to, like, just things can get so out of perspective when you've been sleep deprived. Like.
Yeah. If you could write a letter on parenthood, who would it be to and what would you say?
I think I'd write it to my dad. Like, I would love to just let him know how it's going, and thank him for everything that he did for us, that he taught me, and how I'm going to instill that in Bola, hopefully.
I would do the same. Right, it'd be to my dad, and it would be, you know, one to tell him that we named his grandson after him. and two, you know, to say, look, we're doing okay. And this is, you know, thank you because you gave me this opportunity.
Yeah, and thanks for looking after our moms as well,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah. You made it possible for them to do what they did for us, you know.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Not that would help anybody sending them the letters, but it would feel good to let them know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We end every episode with you finishing three sentences. So the first one is, being a mum or dad means. So being a mum means.
Never peeing alone.
Being a dad means.
Feeling a lot of love every day. I know it sounds soppy, but I do, you know. I look at these two and I'm just like, wow.
Since having children, I...
I understand all the parents that came before it, you know, all the parents that, like, post 100 photos of their children on Instagram and stuff, and you're like, geez, do you not do anything anymore other than your child? Or that feeling, you know how it's all these cliches that you hear. I didn't believe them until it happened. So, you know, that the conversation about, you know, you'll never feel a love like it. I just thought it was something that people said. I wasn't really expecting it, and the love that I feel for Bola, like, it grows every day, and it's really taken me by surprise, and the amount of happiness it's brought me. I mean, this is a very long-winded answer to a simple sentence, but...
It's more of a paragraph, Linda, I'll be honest.
Hey, I've got the mum brain, I'm warbling, that's what happens. But yeah, I think I just... those clichés are all true.
Yeah.
What would I say? What was the sentence again?
Since having children, I...
I didn't think it was possible, but I feel more excited and more passionate about life than ever.
And I'm happy when?
I'm happiest when he laughs. There's nothing... it's so magic. It's more than any... like, those smiles are like coffee.
Yeah. I can't beat that, because the other day he chuckled baby giggles are the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happiest when my baby giggles. It's amazing.
Amazing. And Linda, I think that possibly was my favourite quote. His laughs are like coffee.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show as well how much we need it in our lives.
Except from when I drink it, he goes mad.
She had coffee the other day and he was like Mo Farah running around the house.
That was wild.
It was insane. Wild.
Well, guys, thank you so, so, so much. It's been so lovely to talk to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.